Look at Psalms 37 and verse 39. And keep your Bible open there, because I'm going to show you a few scriptures later on some other thoughts I have for you. Psalms 37 and verse 39. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word, in honor of his word. The Bible says in Psalms 37, verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. By the way, all salvation is of the Lord. When you get saved, you become righteous because you get that imputed righteousness that Christ gives. And only he can give it. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. By the way, that's not of anybody else, not of works, not of nothing. It's all of God. Salvation is all of God. None of me, none of you, all him. Amen? But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Father, I believe you put this scripture in my heart. Pray it can be a blessing and encouragement to our people. And not just tonight, but I pray in coming days and months and years, they're facing trials and tribulations and different elements of life. I pray, dear God, they might think of something that we said tonight from the Word. Holy Spirit, put things in their heart that they will have in the coming days to be an encouragement and a buckler and comfort and shield to them to help them through those times. Help me now, Father, to do well for you tonight, to be a blessing. And Lord, I pray you'll hold back that snow, and I pray that that we'll just have a great You Are Love program. Pray that people would be saved at our You Love program. Lord, I just pray that you'll bless that night and all that we do. And bless tonight, we ask, in all our different programs, Patch the Pirate and nursery and college and career and teenagers. I just pray you'll be with every one of them groups. Be with us now, we pray. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight I want to give you a few thoughts of what to do when trials come into your life. What to do when trials come into your life. How many of you have had some trials in your life? Many times our lives are filled with hardships, trials, sufferings, sorrows. I mean, life goes on, doesn't it? But we're all acquainted with sorrow and grief, aren't we? Can anyone say amen to that? Many times it seems like our lives are like a Cedar Point roller coaster. We're up, we're down, we're all around, we're upside down. I mean, there's roller... by the way, when we... 40 years ago, Rose and I got married, and one of the things we did on our honeymoon, we went to Cedar Point. And I got on that roller coaster called the Blue Streak. Now it's one of the mild ones. My brother Billy, when I got on that roller coaster, I'm terrified of heights, John. And that thing went gunk, 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 gunk. And when I got there, oh, what am I doing? I watched those little kids. I'm terrified. Man, it went down 100 miles an hour, it seemed like to me. I'm holding on. Matter of fact, if you go back to the fourth cart in the back, and you'll see my imprints of those fingers. Those are mine. I squeezed that bar that tight. Rosie says, I said, hold on, Rose, hold on. And I promised God that day, if he ever got me off that thing, I would never go back, and I never have been on that thing. I've never been on another one since. You couldn't pay me to go on a roller coaster. And I know that's one of the little ones now. I have went back on that one Frontier, a little one, where all it does is you need a chiropractor afterwards. King, conk, conk. I can't remember the mine shaft ride or something like that. But sometimes our life is like that. We're up, we're down, we're upside down, and then we're kinked and conked. And I mean, it just seemed like there's a lot of bumps and bruises in our life. How many know what I'm talking about? And sometimes it seems like our emotions and our feelings are taxed beyond measure. Problems come and we get stressed up and stressed out. And sometimes we get to a point we say, maybe you haven't, but I have, Lord, why me? Or we'll say, God, by the way, how many of you ever said, Lord, why me? Rest of your lying. Okay. Or, God, are you trying to tell me something? Or, man, you must be really mad at me today for all these things going wrong. How many of you ever had that? We start having a pity party and we look at other people who are not living for God and say, man, those people live wicked lives and they are blessed and I'm serving God and I'm going through all these trials. And don't tell me you've never thought of that, because we all have. How many people just say, I've thought that, preacher. Oh, you're going to make it. Since there's no liars, all the liars have a part of the lake of fire, so glad you're not lying. Amen. But we do. We say, man, God, I'm serving you. Why am I having all these troubles? And why are we having all these trials and sufferings and financial problems and all these different things that come into our lives? Why, God? Listen. And we start to envy those people that we see those people that are wicked, Jack, and they appear like they're prospering. How many are with me yet? And we say, why should I even serve God? What's the use? Doesn't get you nowhere. I've never thought that, at least. I said, I've got this down. Listen, when you start thinking about all those people that think like they're, I know they're living evil lives and they're prospering, and you think that they're prospering, but you know what? We really don't know how good they're really doing. We just see the outward appearance. How many still with me? Those wicked people, you just see the outward appearance. Many of those wicked people who appear to be prospering, they're in turmoil. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 13:15, stay in Psalms 37, I'm going to show you a scripture. The Bible tells us that in Proverbs 13:15, the way of the transgressors is hard. I'm going to tell you right now, they might have an appearance that they're doing well, but they're not. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. And you don't go against God and prosper. You don't those people aren't happy. Matter of fact, did you ever notice all those ones that we think sometimes we, all these Hollywood stars and all these people we put up, man, they got all these millions of dollars and man, they live evil and wicked lives. You ever watch their lives though? Their lives are torn. They're broken. A lot of them are suicidal. Hello? Oh, yeah, they're doing good, aren't they? The rich and the famous. By the way, the Bible clearly teaches us not to envy those people. Are you still in Psalms 37? Look at Psalms 37:1. Fret. Boy, we do a lot of fretting, don't we? Boy, we do fret over things. We fret over things that we shouldn't even be fretting about. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withered as a green herb. Look also at verse 9 and 10. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. They might have all their movie stars, might have all the stuff out there in California right now in different places, but that's going to be short-lived. You got something for eternity. Mansions in glory. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Look at verse 13. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he said that day is coming. I'm going to tell you right now, don't when you're going through a time of discouragement, don't try to scale yourself up with somebody else. They do that. That ain't how things scale. Put your hand there in Psalms. Turn up one book. Let me give you a couple of scriptures in Proverbs about not being envious of people. Oh, man, I wish I had all they got. Do you really? In Proverbs 23, verse 17 and 18, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord for all the day long. For surety there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Yeah, we're going to live forever. die, we're going to live forever. The lost people and the wicked people, man, their days are numbered. They're going to be cut off, but we're never going to be cut off. We got endless bounty. Amen? We got the, look at 24:1 of Proverbs. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Boy, I wish I could be like them. No, you don't. You don't want to be like them. Oh, I wish I, no. No, you don't. You just think you do. Listen, when trials come, number one, I wrote four things. I'm going to give them to you real, as quick as I can. Number one, when trials come, don't look at others and compare your life to theirs. When trials come, don't look at others and compare your life to theirs. It's got nothing to do with them. Number two, when trials come, understand that trials are a part of our life. These dry sockets are a part of our life. that flu bug that you get, those things that you're going through, arthritis and all kinds of things. Ben Gay, he's part of our life. The older people know what I'm talking about. The younger ones, who's Ben Gay? You'll learn, when you get older, you'll find who Ben Gay is. A lot of people take him to bed with them every night. They rub it on for arthritis and stuff. But by the way, I better not get on that. I see our country's trying to do something for the gays now. No tell and stuff. Actually, I like what King Asa did. He didn't have a no. He didn't have no plan for him. He just rid the land of them. I thought that's a great plan for the Sodomites. Amen. He just rid the land of them. We're trying to cater to them. No wonder America's in so much trouble. Well, that's not my message tonight, though. But I couldn't resist it. Boy, America's in real trouble, aren't they? Boy, if we don't start stopping the spending, I am really worried for America. Boy, you talk to your congressman and senator, you let them know, cut, cut, cut. And I'm glad Jesus is coming back. Amen? Number two, when trials come, understand that trials are part of our life. They're part of our life. Trials are going to come into our life as long as we're alive. We're going to be faced with trials and sufferings and all kinds of different things until the day Jesus takes us home or the rapture comes. Amen? I noted this. Listen, we are going to have to face trials on a continual basis all the days of our life. Did you ever think about this? The moment you were born, you started dying? The moment you were born, actually, the moment you were conceived and started to live, you began the death process. Boy, that'll blow your mind, won't it? Now, that is Cocoa for Crispy Puffs, whatever it is. That's one of them Cocoa Puffs, one of those things. I know that this. I want you to look at Psalms 37, verse 7. When trials come, we need to understand that it's part of life. I said, number one, when trials come, don't try to compare your life with someone else. I said, number two, when trials come, understand that trials are part of our life. Look at verse chapter 37 of Psalms, and look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord. How many see that? Wait patiently on Him. Fret not thyself. I'm going to tell you right now, we need to rest in the Lord. And when we got problems and trials and things that we have to face and they're not easy to face, rest in the Lord. Give it to God. Say, all right, I've got this. I'm going to have them all my life. I got taxes all my life. I see they raised their taxes again on our land. That's just... Taxes are the way of life, aren't they? Trials in our life are a way of life. You're going to have them all the time. So don't fret over them. Say, all right, Lord, here's another one we've got to face. Help me get through this one. How many are with me? And understand that we got to give it over to God. These trials and tribulations and all that we go through in life, we got to learn to give it over to God. Rest in, the reason we don't have peace, we don't rest in Him. We fight Him. We resist it. We get mad at God. We blame God for things that are really not God's fault. Sometimes we, God gets blamed for a lot of things He don't even do. Did you know that? By the way, Satan gets a lot of credit for things he don't do either. But I want you to notice something in this understanding that trials are a part of our life. I got a couple things about that. Understand that bad things can happen to good people. Bad things can happen. And by the way, bad things do happen to good people. Matthew 5:45 says this, "For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." I'm going to tell you right now, bad things happen to good people too. Listen, you say, "Well, man, I'm a saved person. I'm living for God. Nothing bad should have happened to me." No, bad things are going to happen to you. It's a way of life. You're going to get toothaches. You're going to get things in the hospital. You're going to have things break down. You're going to have things go down in your life. It's just the way of life. How many are still with preacher? I'm going to give you an example. Matthew 5:45 was the scripture I quoted, that he makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust. Matthew 5:45. But good things can happen. Bad things can happen to good people. I haven't got the whole story. And I've just got a few things what the news reports. But here's some good people there out of some Baptist church, I think out of Iowa or Indiana, one of those churches over there. Maybe it was Iowa. And they tried to rescue some of these Haitian kids, these orphans. They were trying to do a good thing. I don't have all the facts. I don't know all that but what I've got, it appears that they were trying to do something good. It appears now. I don't have the whole story, but the story I do have thus far is that those people had one motive to help those stranded children. They had one motive to help these kids that would maybe died even, and they were forsaken. Haiti's got a million kids now that need someone to take care of them. Are you with me? And they went down there with good intentions. Now, last I heard, they've locked them up. And the last I heard, I didn't watch the news today, so I don't know what the news had for you today. But the last I heard, they might ship them to America for trial. Now, here's some good people. At least it appears to the preacher. Now, I could find out later it's something different, but what I see, what I've heard, it seemed like their motives were honor and just, and it seemed like they had the children's welfare in mind, and they just tried to take those kids from over there in Haiti and take them to the Dominican Republic so they could have shelter and food and stuff like that. To me, that's not a bad thing. And here they're trying to do something good, and bad's come out of it. They're actually locked up. I've prayed for the Lord to help them and release them. I hope nothing happens to them. So bad things can happen. Bad things can happen to good people. You say, "Well, boy, they must have did something bad. God must really hate them." I ain't got nothing to do with God. Look up, listen to this preacher now. Christians are stupid sometimes. We say, "Boy, he must be really doing something bad for them to get judged." Listen, most of the time it's just something going on in your life. Now, God does bring judgment. And that's my last point. Let me just throw this in case I don't get to it. Point four is God does chasten his children. Hebrews 12:6. But I'm going to tell you, did you know something? Whenever my dad spanked me, Brother Mark, no one had to tell me when my dad was spanking me. I knew I was getting a spanking. I mean, when my dad grabbed me, Brother Billy, my heart was Because he made me understand that I did something wrong. You know what? When our Heavenly Father does something, when he scourges us and chastens us, I don't have to have no one tell me I did something wrong. God lets me know I've done something wrong. How many are with me yet? Don't point your finger at people. First of all, you don't know why they're going through what they're going through. And if they are being judged by God, you don't need no... By the way, I never got into with my... When my dad was spanking my sisters and my brother, I didn't get into... You know why? I didn't want to get one myself. Matter of fact, I tried to get away from it. I didn't want to be around it. Hello? Some of you old timers, these newer kids, they don't understand what's going on. But when, see, they used to really whoop people when we were kids. You got a whooping with a belt. We got whooped, man. And you felt it. Yeah, paddle up. That was when I got loaded. That was easy. It's those straps that really killed me. And but you don't need to worry about stuff like that. But bad things do happen to good people. Number three, I told you, number one, when trials come, don't try to compare yourself with other people. Don't try to say, well, it's why has this happened to me? It's not happened to Bob. It's not happened to Joe. Why has it happened to me? Don't try to compare your trial while you're going through it with somebody else's. How many are still with me? Number two, I said, trials are a part of our life. Number three, when trials come, let God work good from it. When trials come, let God work good from it. I want you to read with me a couple of scriptures. We'll end up in Genesis, but look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 5. Look at verses 1 through 5. Therefore, I'm in Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You want peace? Then go to the Prince of Peace. And by the way, he's the only one who can give us peace that passes all understanding. And unless you rest in him, and unless you and I learn to rest in him, we'll never have that peace. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Boy, I can't wait till Jesus comes. How many believe there's a heaven? How many believe there's going to be a rapture? Amen. I do too. And how many believe you're going to get a brand new body? How many believe you're going to have a body that's never going to never get sick, never die, and it's going to be tremendous forever and ever and ever? How many believe that? That's glory, isn't it? Amen. That's hope of glory. And not only so, but look at verse 3. But we glory in, we can shout and jump. I can't today because of my jaw. I'm trying to give you all the volume I can without hurting my jaw more. But it only hurts when you laugh. That's the truth. That's really what the truth is, really. I lost my thought here. And now it's over. We glory in tribulations. We can get excited about heaven. We jump and shout over streets of gold, pearly gates, mansions in glory. Hallelujah, praise God. Man, we get excited about that. But the Bible says we should glory in tribulations. I need to get excited about this dry socket. Hallelujah. I got a dry socket. Glory. Knowing something's going to come out of this dry socket. Knowing that tribulation work, what's it work? Yeah, all those problems we go through, God's doing something. He's working on us. There's a song the kids sing, "He's Still Working on Me." He works on us through those trials. He works on our life through tribulations. He's really working on us. We don't think he is. We don't want him to. But in these trials that we're going through, he's actually working on our life. It's amazing how great God is. Isn't that amazing? Notice what it says. And through it all, Stephen, I'm getting patience out of this. And boy, I need patience. I'm kind of like the guy Judas says, falling out. Lord, I need patience and hurry up. I can't wait, you know. And notice what it says. And we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulations work as patience. Patience, experience. And experience, hope. Oh, yeah, we'll make it through it, Betty. Remember a couple, we went through this with something like similar. Oh, yeah, we'll make it. We'll do this one. See, these trials and heartaches and sufferings, God just helps us to get through them and gives us patience, gives us experience. Oh, I went through that. I see young Jordan here. He gave his preacher a scare a week ago or so. He was losing blood. Him and Jack were both. Man, I thought everybody around here, something was going on. We had more people in the hospital than we had in church. That's amazing, you know. But that was supposed to be funny. Oh, well. And I'm like Rodney Dangerfield. I don't get no respect. No respect. Jordan lost some blood. Someday he's going to find somebody that had the same. He's going to say, oh, man, I went through that same thing. They did that same test on me. That stuff they put in is horrible. See, he got some experience out of that. Are you still with me? See, even though it wasn't fun doing it, and I wouldn't want to go through it, he don't want to go through it again, but he got something out of that besides a hospital bill. I don't know what's worse, going to the hospital, coming home, getting the thing in the mail. I don't know what's the worst. They take you come out and you get down, you go back in for the heart failure, you know. I don't know what's worse. You know, I'm coming, Martha. But anyways, it says that this experience, oh yeah, you'll get through it, man. I thought, man, I didn't think I was going to make it, but I did. Annie had that thing when they thought they gave up and said she was going to die. And God touched her and healed her. She came through that. I made it. See, it gives us hope not to give up. It gives us hope to keep going. It gives us hope to give comfort to others that are going through the same thing. In this hope, it maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I'm so glad God put the Holy Spirit in us. Amen. And because he helps us do all these trials. I want you to get something. Look at Romans 8:28. You could quote that scripture. I can quote it. And we know that all things, how many things? All things. This, Mark, I don't like this dry socket, but God said something good's going to come from it. Hello? I don't like seeing, Betty had it on her leg, she had that surgery. She didn't like, but Betty, something's going to come out of it somehow. And we know that all things work together for good. Now, there's two groups of people here. To them who love God, and to them who are called according to his purpose. How many see that? So the Christian, we don't have no accidents. We have incidents. Because all things work for good for the Christian. I don't care how bad it is. God says, I'm going to work something good from it. You say, well, how can that be? I don't have any. I'm just telling you, all things work together for good. Now, all things are not, listen to me real closely on this. All things are not good. But God can make something good come from all things. How many are still with the preacher? Not all things are good. You lost a child, that's not good. You lose your job, that's not good. You're told that you've got cancer and 4 months to live, that's not good. But the Bible says, out of all these things, out of even these bad things, he can make good come if we'll accept it and seek him and walk with him. Some good can come from those things for the people of God, to them that love God, and to them who are called according to his purpose. How many are still with me? I want to. I believe Romans 8:28. 8:28 is true. And we need to accept these things. And so by accepting it, we're understanding, hey, God's working on this. And I'm going to give you one last example. Don't get excited, because I got about five scriptures in this last example, and it's really what I'm getting where I want to be. Turn to Genesis, because I'm still not, Jimmy, I'm not done with Genesis yet. I'm trying to get out of Genesis so I can get you in Exodus. But Joseph is the greatest example of Romans 8:28 that I can show you, that I think you can get a hold of. Joseph knew trials and hardships, yet he was faithful and he served God. Look at Genesis 37. Let's do this real quick. If you turn quick, I'll read quick. Let's look at Joseph's life real quick and see if we can't get a great truth from this when trials come. We're all going to have trials. Folks, everybody goes through trials. I don't care how good you are, how bad you are. You're going to have trials. How you respond to those trials, how you react to them, makes a big difference. How you entreat them or reject them makes a big difference. We need to understand we're going to have trials. We understand when those trials comes, not to compare it to other people. Why are you doing, like little kids, you that got children, you might tell your one, say you got one a girl and says, I'll just pick on my grandkids. Maybe Dave and Shannon will tell Ray, I want you to do this, Ray. And she'll say, why? You didn't tell Austin to do it. He didn't have to do it. Or Tippy Brooke, go get this. Why? You didn't make Lukey do it. That's how when we have a trial, are you still listening to the preacher? When we have a trial, we say, God, hey, God, why you put this on me? You didn't put it on them. And I'm a lot better. I took the garbage out and made my bed today. What are you doing it to me for? You should get Tippy Brooke. Am I making any sense yet? Well, Joseph, he took everything in stride. And we need to learn to rest in God when these trials come. And that's exactly what Joseph, look at Genesis 37. We don't compare ourselves with other people. We understand that trials are going to be part of our life. And we understand, number three, that God will work good from those trials. He can work good if we'll let him work good. In Psalms 37, we're going to use Joseph as an example. You know the story. When you look at verse 13 through Psalms 37, verses 13 through 24, you'll see that Joseph's brothers, his own brothers, were jealous of him, and they threw him in a pit. His own brothers. In Genesis chapter 30, how many got Genesis 37? Look at Genesis 37. And pick up in verse 13. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. Boy, there you go, Eddie. Joseph is obedient. Bobby, Joseph is in the perfect will of God. Okay, Lord, I'll go do what you say. And so Joseph's doing exactly what the father told him. He goes to his brothers. How many are with me? You got to get this. You got to watch. Joseph, type of Christ, obedient. Obedient to the father. How many believe Joseph's in the perfect will of God there? He's in the perfect will of God. And what happens to him by being in the perfect will of God? He gets thrown in the pit. Look at down verse 24. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty and there was no water in it. Here a guy's walking, doing right. And bad came to him. You see, bad does come to good people. And here's a guy that's being obedient to the Father. And he's still getting in trouble. Was this Joseph's fault? No, it wasn't Joseph's fault. Did God allow it to happen? Yes, he did. Look at the second thing in Genesis 37:28. He sold into slavery to the Ishmaelites. Remember, Ishmael came from Abraham and Hagar? Remember that? Way back in Genesis chapter 12 there. Come now, let us, look at verse 27. Come now, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. So here you go. He's not done anything wrong, Eddie. He's thrown in a pit, no water. I'm sure it was hot and he's thirsty. Now he's sold off as a slave. Is he still in the will of God? Did he do anything wrong? Answer me, yes or no? No. Is it God's fault? But he's going through this trial. Then look at Genesis 39:1. He's sold again. The Ishmaelites take him to Egypt. Joseph's brought down to Egypt. The Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard of the Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which he brought him down thither. So now he's sold again. Not his fault. Still walking with God, not complaining. Just resting in the Lord. Okay, God, I don't understand it, but I guess this is what you want for my life. Works in Potiphar's home. Potiphar's wife gets an eye for him. Tries to get him to commit adultery. He won't do it. He drops in coats and run. She lies about him. He gets thrown in prison. Look at 39:17. Wrong, and she spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant that thou hast brought unto us came in to me and mocked me. And it came to pass, I lifted my voice and cried. He left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard these words of his wife, which spake unto him, saying, after this manner did the servant to me, and his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him, put him in prison." Wow. Here he was, he was just following orders, not doing anything wrong. Stayed away from this guy's wife. She lied. No doubt he probably got thrashed a little bit too before he got thrown in prison. And now he's thrown in prison. Was he still being obedient to God? Did he do anything wrong? But bad things are happening to a good person. You know what the trouble is? Christians say, boy, Joseph must be really sinning. Joseph must be really sinning bad. Now he's in prison. Hello? Listen, don't look down on other people. You don't know what's going on in their life. Look up here. You got to get this. Get this, Christian. You don't know what God's working in that person's life. Joseph didn't have any sin right there. He didn't do anything wrong to get in prison. He was upright with that man's wife. He shouldn't have been. He was wrongfully lied about. He was wrongfully put in jail. But God let him do it. It was a trial that he had to go through in his life. And yet away, he was still in God's perfect will. He wasn't running from God. He wasn't going against God's will. Are you still with me? It gets more involved as it goes. Then look at Genesis chapter 40. In verse 14 and 15, he tells a dream to a baker. And he said, "You're going to die." And he tells the butler one, and the butler gets free. Look at chapter 40, verse 14. And look at verse 14 and 15 of chapter 40. "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." Yeah, he didn't do anything to go to prison. "For indeed I was stolen away out of the land." He's telling this to the butler, who he told the dreams, who he told him about those dreams. "Indeed, I've stolen away out of the land." And the Hebrews, by the way, hey, I got here. It wasn't my fault that I got here either. I don't belong in this jail, and I didn't even belong here in the first place. "I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And also look what he said there. I have done nothing." See, you can still be a good Christian and have trials. You can still be a good Christian and have heartaches. You can still be a good Christian and have sorrow. Bad things do happen to good people. Joseph was a good person. Now, he had sinned like anyone. But he was walking with God here. And what I want you to see is this. He was walking with God, and yet he was having all kinds of trouble. How many ever thought about that? Bethel's one of the greatest churches I've ever been. But we've had more trials and heartaches in this church. See, we're not exempt. No matter how good you are, we're not exempt from it. Trials are a part of my life. Say that. Trials are a part of my life. We're talking about what to do when you have trials. Now notice, and look at also verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgave him. He forgot all about him. He got restored. He was supposed to tell Mikey, he was supposed to tell Pharaoh, hey, there's a guy that told me about these dreams. He forgot to tell him. Forget you, buddy. Out of sight, out of mind. I don't need you no more. What did you do? It's what you did for me today, not tomorrow, yesterday. Come here with me. So Joseph, Billy, he's still in this prison. And it goes on to tell you the next, if you'll see 41:1, 2 years later, he's still there. Look at that. Look at Genesis 41:1. It came to pass at the end of the two full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood behind the river. So it's 2 years. Joseph's still in jail. He's still in jail. Did he do anything? No. Did he ever do anything to get in there? No. Was he a good guy? Yeah. Do bad things happen to good people? Yes. Now watch. Look at verse 9 of chapter 41. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults. It's one of those teenagers. Duh. I remember this guy now. I met him back in Brooklyn. I remember this guy in the dungeon I met. He can tell dreams, Pharaoh. I was supposed to tell you this 2 years ago, and it slipped my mind. Thanks a lot. Of course, you know the story. He brings him up, and he tells Pharaoh the story, and he's brought to be like the prime minister just underneath Pharaoh. Now, stay with me. I'm going to put all this together. By the way, sometimes we think God has overlooked us. 2 years. Can you imagine what went through his mind? Why don't anyone know that I'm down here? 2 years. Sometimes we think, God, did you forget me? Hey, God, I'm down here, God! Hey, God, are you overlooking me? I don't tell you, Rosie, he must have forgot us. Hello? Some of you said that to your wives. Or they said, oh, don't worry about God. He's forgot us. He don't know where we're out here. We're going through all kinds. He don't even know one thing. He don't care. He don't care about us no more. I don't know if those thoughts went through Joseph's mind. He probably did. But it doesn't say he ever complained about it. Are you still with me? Can I show you something? Look at Genesis. I want you to see something. Genesis 37:2. 37:2 of Genesis. Joseph being 17 years old. You see that? How many see Genesis 37:2? He's 17 years old. When he's put in the pit, Ray, when he was thrown in the pit, he was 17 years old. Now look over in Genesis 41:46. 41:46. When he's raised up out of the dungeon and Pharaoh puts him as like the prime minister, and Joseph was what? 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. How many see that? Davy, that good man that walked with God, that was in God's perfect will, if you'll take 30 and minus 17, that means he was there for, that means that Joseph went through 13 years. 13, by the way, the number 13. I know some people are born on the 13th, I can't help it. But the Bible, in the Bible, the 13 is a bad number. I'm not saying your number's bad. Please don't misunderstand me. But I'm glad I wasn't born on the 13th. No, I'm just kidding you. 13 years! You got to get this. Lord's going to let my mouth make it. I'll make it. I'll pop some pills when I get home. For 13 years, this man that walked with God, that didn't blame God, that kept going, he had trial after trial after trial after trial after trial after heartache after lie after problem. He just kept on going for 13 years. And he still stayed faithful. Why everybody around him prospered. Remember I said don't look at other people? He didn't look at other people. And he just kept resting in God. And trial after trial, God took him through it. Now watch. Watch. Why all these trials for 13 years? Look what it says in Genesis 45, verse 7 and 8. And God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth, to save your lives by great deliverance. How many see that? And so now it was not for you. So now it was not for you that sent me hither. Oh yeah, you're the one that threw me in the pit, but you don't understand. God had a plan. But God, see, it wasn't you at all, brothers. But God, he had made me a father of Pharaoh and Lord of South and a ruler throughout the land. I mean, he did it for a reason, to get me here, to save you. Look at chapter 50. Look at chapter 50 of Genesis, verse 19 and 20. After his father died, the brothers thought he was going to kill him. They got afraid. I don't blame them. You old skunks. That's not good, is it? They thought he was going to go cuckoo for Krispy Kreme. That's what they thought, Billy. Joseph said to them, "Fear not, for I'm in the place of God." When we're going through those heartaches and sorrows and trials, that's where we want it. It's hard to be in the place of God, but that's where God wants us. "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people." Look up here, and I'm almost all done. If they don't throw him in the pit, if those boys, and they don't sell him to Ishmaelites, and the Ishmaelites don't take him to Egypt, and Potiphar don't buy him, and the wife don't lie, then he don't get thrown in jail. If he don't get thrown in jail, then he don't get to tell those butler and the baker about their dreams. And then when the butler gets out, if he don't know Joseph about those dreams, then the Pharaoh never hears about someone can tell about dreams. And then he can't tell the dream. By the way, that dream was you're going to have 7 great years and 7 famine. Not only did Joseph save Egypt, but Joseph saved Jacob, all the sons of Jacob, and the nation of Israel. How many have seen it now? You see, Joseph was saying to his brothers, Romans 8:28. You see, you meant it for bad, but God meant this for good. Sometimes these trials, these sufferings, these heartaches. By the way, I don't think Joseph understood it, Carl. Why he was going through all that. You're not going to understand all these things. Bobby, God's not done with you in June. You just got a new ministry. And we don't know why, but we'll see down the line. We're going to find out why, Bobby. Isn't it exciting? He's not done with us yet. And everything in our life, every season of our life that we go through, Mike, God's got a purpose and a plan. Are you listening to me, church? And when those trials come into our life, don't try to compare yourself with other people. I'm glad Joseph didn't. And just realize we're going to have trials in our life. Understand that. And number three, you know, remember that that even these trials. Now, I don't understand it. Maybe, Mike, maybe as I go to the dentist, or someone I've passed a track out, I've had to go and get two prescriptions. I got to go to the dentist again tomorrow. Maybe, who knows? Maybe I'm going to pass a track out to somebody that's going to get saved. If I wouldn't have the toothache, it wouldn't have, I don't know. Maybe someone needs to hear this message, and God knew I wouldn't preach it unless I got sick and had to think about stuff. All things work together for good. So don't be mad at God. Say, God, show me how we can work good out of this. And so, Joseph, I got a kick out of Joseph. He said, "Nah, don't worry, fellas. You don't have to fear me, man. When you threw me in that pit and sold me off, I wasn't happy. But you know what? I saw there's a bigger picture. God had something greater in mind, and now I see the whole picture. Well, we don't see it all now, Wes. When we get to heaven, we will. But let's not get too caught up when we have trials." Let's learn to trust God and say, God, okay, here's another one. Let's not say, okay, God, you must hate me. Okay, God, why aren't you getting them instead of me? Hello? How many of you still listen to the preacher? Have I bored you too much? Let's remember, when we have those trials, God's, our life. Well, I wish I could find it. I wrote something down I wanted to give to you. It wasn't out of a, I wrote it down. Yeah, here it is. It's no wonder I didn't come. I'm just now come to it. Remember, so those trials in life, God is working in our life. You might say, trials, our trials in life are the building blocks of our life. Our trials of our life are the building blocks of our life. Because our life is a work in progress. Think about that when trials come into your life. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we've had. I pray, dear God, as we face different trials in our life, that we'll learn to respond to those trials like Joseph did, that we won't compare our trials with other people, envy them, feel bad that we're in a trial. That we understand that trials will be before us all the time. All our life we're going to be faced with trials. Number three, that you can work good. Something good can come out of every trial if we'll let it. If we'll just rest in you and trust you. Put things in your hands. Rely on you to get us through those trials. Not fret. Not charge you foolishly. Pray, dear God, as we go through these different trials, that we would have, Lord God, understanding that even bad things happen to good people. Lord, Joseph, we see, was a good person that walked with you, that loved you. Yet, he had a lot of trials in his life. Help us as Christians not to judge people because of their circumstances. Many times I think we look at people and say, wow, God must be really mad at them. You weren't mad at all, Joseph. Matter of fact, I think you were glad for every one of those things, because it made it possible to work good. Help us understand these things. Help us when trials come into our life. Help us to respond in a way that you can get glory from every trial. And Lord, if we're being tried for being chastening, help us to examine our life and to take and show repentance. And Lord, turn from whatever is not right and turn to you. I just pray with all my heart, Father, that in the coming days, there's not a person underneath my voice tonight that will not face a trial, either today or tomorrow, or in next month, and there might be many that's facing them right now. I pray you'll help each one of them. Help them to, in their trials, that God can get glory from them. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed before we go home, maybe you're going through a trial. Maybe you've had some problems and you've got a lot of stress on you right now, and you'd say, "Preacher, pray for me. We're really going through it right now. Pray for us." Who'd say that? Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I see that. Yes, ma'am. I saw that hand there in the middle. God bless you. I'm going through it, preacher. I'm really facing a trial. I pray you'll take it like Joseph did. Wait for God to show good from it. Don't turn your back on God. Don't quit on God. Don't give up. Don't charge God foolish. And don't fret. He's in control. He'll take you to the other side. And you'll get patience and experience and hope from all these things you're going through. Bless, I pray, Father. Help us, Lord God. I saw many hands go up. God, you know my people. I love them. Many are faced with health conditions right now and different things, some financial. Some are just got some heartache. Help them. Oh, God, please help them, I pray. Please be close to them, I pray, Father. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing one verse. If you'd like to come for any reason, you want to come and pray, you come now. I know it's late. I don't never preach this long on Wednesday, but tonight was different. I had a Sunday morning message. I want you to come.